Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Linens and Soft Things podcast. This is the first episode we're ever recording. I'm here with my co-host, PTD Shaheen.
Come on! Now that's right, baby! I'm back from the dead, baby! You already know I confused myself for my cousin, Kuda Joe Bob. You know what I mean, baby. Come on, now it's PTDSHAH. You know what I mean. I'm GOAT, there's no doubt about it. Now, I'm with Soft Willie over here, my new co-host. Soft Willie, tell me a little about yourself, baby.
You just call me Soft Willie?
I'm on Blue Chew, which just so happens to be our newest sponsor.
We're not sponsored by Blue Chew. Carry on.
He is rock hard right now.
That part's true.
Excuse me, I forgot. I am PTD Shaheen, not Patrick Shaheen, not that fat phone bitch. That miserable pizza shit. This ain't no MMA podcast, okay? I can guarantee you that we ain't gonna talk about nothing really. We gonna talk about linens and things with Soft Willie. This is really the greatest podcast of all time. So please. Please subscribe, smash that like button, give me a 5-star rating, touch my butthole.
And just to be clear, it is hard, Willie.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 7,432nd most popular MMA podcast in the world, ranking us in the 1-2nd percentile. The MMA school! I am Pat!
And I'm Cole, green as grass, Henry.
Definitely not hard, Willie, baby. That soft Willie over there.
Yeah, that is hard. Hard Willie. Anyway, though.
What were you saying? What?
We haven't recorded a podcast in months.
Yeah, I think the last time we did it was mid-May.
If you're listening to this, just know that I think you're a total loser. A total loser.
The fact that they stayed subscribed this time when we weren't
even... Yeah, absolutely.
Surely they thought it was dead. Anyway, despite what you said a little bit ago, we are going to talk a little bit about MMA, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, UFC 252. Was this past weekend.
It was.
But I'm going to start out by saying that a 3-fight parlay on the final 3 fights of the night kept me from losing a lot of money on this card.
Right.
So thank you to Bovada for questionable odds, but I was good enough to pay for the card and then...
You might be one of 5 people in the world that didn't lose money on this card. This was a very hard card to predict.
I went, for that final, I went Rozenstruik, Vera, and Miocic.
So,
loved it. Anyway,
The Sugar Show's dead.
Yeah, we're going to get a little bit into, we're just going to go straight to the main card. The preliminary card, it did have some fun fights. Verna Jandiroba had a slick submission over Felice Herrig. Vink Pichel beat Jim Miller. Those were good performances.
That broke your heart, didn't it?
Which one, Jim Miller?
Yeah,
you know, I don't.
You got it.
Every fighter, if they stick around long enough, I end up becoming just every fighter. If they're around long enough, I just have so many fond memories, even of dudes that I hate.
Yeah.
Not that I ever hated Jim Miller, but anyway, main card. Mirab Davalishvili beat John Dodson via unanimous decision.
Go ahead and give me that name again.
Mirab Davalishvili.
Okay.
John Dodson didn't do a whole lot.
No.
He's kind of known for his hand speed, but you have to throw punches for that hand speed to be utilized. And he didn't really do that. Davalishvili wasn't able to dominate with takedowns, but he was able to definitely, I guess, implement his game plan. What's the ceiling for Davalishvili?
He's in the red camp. Guy's training with some of the best in the world. 135, top 10's wide open for anybody. I don't see why he can't get up there.
Yeah, he's won 5 straight. John Dodson's definitely by far the most notable name of those 5 wins, but they've all been absolutely dominant, so hopefully he gets another ranked opponent next.
I don't like his black sheep hat.
It's offensive.
It is weird because it just looks like an afro. Like, it doesn't look... It's just not obvious what it is.
Okay, I'm not racist. Can't say anything about my co-host.
What? Exactly. Wow. I'm sorry.
Afro.
I don't know what to say. Wow. But it just looks... It just doesn't look... Like, it's... Like, when Khabib wears his, the contrast of the color, it's obvious to me that... Okay. It's obvious that it's some sort of odd hat. Okay? Devalishvili, it's not obvious to me that it's a hat. Okay. It, to me, you can't really tell. Okay. I'm just going to stop now.
Okay.
I'll stop now.
Okay.
We'll move on. Interesting fact about the next fight. Daniel Pineda beat Abair Burns pretty convincingly, I'd say.
Shout out to Gilbert.
Yeah.
And you know?
The random fact that I just think this is interesting. Eddie Alvarez signed with one championship, and in his debut, he got knocked out by this guy named Timofey Nastyukin. Okay? Well, Abair Burns has a dominant submission win over Timofey Nastyukin.
Okay.
And I know none of this really means anything, but it's just interesting to think. You know, we saw Abair Burns, how he struggled against Daniel Pineda. It's weird to think that he has, a win over a guy that has a win over Eddie Alvarez. But, like I said, it means nothing. Just interesting.
All right. There you go. That was your fact of the podcast.
Yes.
That's sponsored by Blue Chew, of course. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Yes.
Just to be clear,
it was a good fight. I mean, look, it was surprising. I thought old Burnsy would go out there and get the job done. He's been looking real good since entering the UFC, and wasn't the case.
Yeah, he was. I think he was 2-3-0, but Pineda's just a vet. He's been around a long time. But anyway, yeah, he's back on track, and Abair Burns is going to have to figure things out. You know, he's Gilbert Burns' brother. It took Gilbert Burns a little while to figure things out, and look where he is now. So I would definitely say that...
got Corona?
Gilbert Burns did have Corona, didn't he?
Yeah, that's where he...
That's why that's where he Jorge was, Masvidal...
Jorge got his ass...
Real quick sidetrack. Had Jorge Masvidal beat Kamaru Usman, would we be getting prepared to see McGregor versus Masvidal for the welterweight title?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. 100%. Yeah, I think so too. Alright, up next, Jarzynia Rozenstruik and Junior Dos Santos. Junior Dos Santos, you know, I did a podcast last night with Sean, and I beat around the bush for several minutes, and then finally he said, "What you're trying to say is that Junior Dos Santos is a bum." Can't call him a bum.
Former heavyweight champion, mm-hmm. Junior Dos Santos?
Yeah, you know, can't call him a bum. And he's looked decent, you know, in all of his losses. But Sean's point, and I have to agree with him here, he's not what he used to be.
No, he's not.
No.
That was his fourth fight. Loss in a row?
Third straight loss.
Third straight by knockout, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
You hate to see it. Junior's a longtime vet. Unfortunately, heavyweight vets stick around forever because they get paid $200,000+ a reason for no goddamn reason! And, you know, Junior's going to keep taking fights he probably shouldn't take. And, that chin just keeps getting weaker and weaker.
That is an interesting point, though. You know, a lot of these heavyweights, you know, a guy like Orlovsky, who, again, I love Orlovsky, but Orlovsky, Overeem, Dos Santos, you know, anytime these guys are on a card, they're almost always the highest paid fighter on the card.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, in any other division, these guys would probably be cut. You know, three straight knockout mm-hmm. losses. But at heavyweight, there's such little to choose from that he'll probably stick around. It does make you wonder, though, you know, how these...
Overeem and Arlovsky, Overeem specifically, is getting paid for work he did in another promotion more so than the UFC.
And it's just interesting to think, you know, how much of this money could kind of trickle down to other fighters if these guys, you know, were sort of subject to the same sort of...
I agreed completely.
Yeah, you know, but they're not. They'll lose 3, 4, 5. You know, I love Arlovsky, but he's had several, like, three or four fight losing streaks.
He's going to keep coming back, baby. Uh-huh. That money's too good.
Yeah, and they'll keep paying him, so you can't blame him. Dos Santos, is he gonna come back from this, or is this...
I mean, he's going to fight again.
Yeah.
If that's what you mean. I mean, they're going to keep paying him. Depending on who they give him, I mean, who's a young heavyweight? There's none. Who's an upcoming heavyweight that could use a stepping stone? Name that guy, and he'll probably lose to him. Junior's best bet is to take a fight against an old heavyweight. Arlovski Dos Santos, why not? Give it to me. I'd watch it.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, it's getting to that point for Dos Santos. They're both former champions.
That's a winnable fight for both guys. Well, I'd have Dos Santos in that fight. But, you know, you hate to see... Yes, I said that. You're very offended right now. Andre's a trash bag. Oh God, please don't hit me with the kendo stick.
It's a wooden katana.
Oh God. All right, I'm going to quit talking about that because I'm afraid that I'm going to get beat upside the head.
Speaking of wooden katanas, Jarzinho Rosenstruik.
Bad motherfucker right there.
Yeah, he's 11-1.
Knocked the fuck out by Ngannou.
You know, if you look at his entire career, if you take 20 seconds out of this man's career, he's unstoppable. But when you add that 20 seconds, it's hard to even judge him. He's very much in the same boat right now. Not quite, but similar boat as Curtis Blaydes. You know, he beats everybody else, but when it comes to Francis Ngannou, you don't even want to see a rematch.
And let's just dive into the heavyweight turmoil going on right now. Well, we're going to get to the champion later, but you got Ngannou, who more than deserves a championship. You got John Jones, who's talking about moving up to heavyweight. If you people legitimately believe John Jones is going to move to the UFC heavyweight division for anything less than a world heavyweight title fight, you are dead wrong. You're an asshole, I would dare say. So, that's my opinion on that. And then you got guys like Rosenstruik and Curtis Blaydes that are... Either one of... Curtis Blaydes very well could be the heavyweight champion if it wasn't for Francis Ngannou.
It's weird because he's probably like the best and most well-rounded heavyweight contender in an extremely long time.
I agree.
I mean, he's a great wrestler who can box. He's got a lot of power. He's got good cardio, especially for the heavyweight division. But he's just got these two blemishes to Ngannou.
Well, he got hit with cinder blocks attached to like just pressure poles that were powered by like 10 million PSI. Francis Ngannou is freak nature. He hits you on the chin, you're going to sleep. Like, I don't think Stipe was ever hit clean on the chin by Francis Ngannou, and he had a great game plan to not do that. So
it's just, I mean, it's wild to think. I mean, Curtis Blaydes is 14-0, you know, outside of the fights with Ngannou.
Would be a heavyweight champion if it wasn't for Francis Ngannou, in my opinion.
And it's just wild looking, you know, real quick before we move on, the heavyweight division, like, looking at the rankings, it's like the top, you know, it is as it always is. I mean, you've got Stipe, Ngannou, Blaydes, Cormier, then Rosenstruik, who's, you know, sort of new to the scene, but then, you know, you got Lewis, Overeem, Dos Santos, and you got Volkov. But then 9 through 15 is, I mean, you've got Augusto Sakai, yeah. Walt Harris, Shamil Abdurakhimov. At 12, you've got Oleynik. 13, Sergey Pavlovich. Then Cyril Gane and Blagoy Ivanov.
Cyril Gane is the guy that's going to emerge out of that group into a top five fighter within the next two fights.
I agree. I mean, the other guys, you know, they might get there, but they're not going
to
get past that.
I'd love to see Cyril Gane against Derek Lewis. Derek would be wise to not take that fight, and he won't.
Derek Lewis is fighting Curtis Blaydes.
I saw that. That's very interesting. Curtis Blaydes is toe-tapped around a title shot for years now. Maybe he's a real fighter and considers those two blemishes against Ngannou reason to not jump the line, because Francis Ngannou deserves a title shot more than Curtis Blaydes at this point. But shout out to him for that, because a lot of other guys in the sport do not think that way. And, you know, if Curtis wins that fight, it absolutely should be a number one contender. The question is who's Stipe Miocic going to fight?
Well, we'll get there.
Yep.
We'll get there. All right, up next, Marlon Vera beat Sean O'Malley.
Didn't happen, bro! Turn the podcast off! Turn the podcast off!
There is a rumor that middle school counselors across the nation
their offices were filled this week with 12 to 14 year old kids devastated by the fact. I'm just kidding. I like Sean O'Malley. This was a bad night for Sean O'Malley.
It was
a bad night for Sean O'Malley.
It was a bad night. Chito Vera went out and earned a dub. I can't say that if O'Malley's foot doesn't fuck up in the first round that it doesn't end up differently. I respect Chito Vera for who he is. He's a very well-rounded fighter. Trains with one of the best camps in the land. My intake overall of this fight is Sean O'Malley's soft as shit. The way he exited the building, the way he wouldn't give an interview after the fight, that is horseshit. I've seen guys walk out of an arena with just like a massively torn ACL.
Have you ever seen a guy leave on a stretcher?
No.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it hasn't happened. But off the top of my head...
One more thing I'll say about this fight. Why the fuck would the number 14 and an unranked bantamweight, featherweight, lead on the co-main event of what was an amazing card otherwise?
There's a few comments there. First of all, don't let me forget. We'll talk about the fact that it was a co-main event. But first of all, this was awful matchmaking, in my opinion, for O'Malley. Vera was... To me, Sean O'Malley should have fought. You know, Marlon Vera is almost a contender. Like, he's almost to that point.
Yes.
O'Malley shouldn't have been fighting him. To me, O'Malley should have been fighting another Eddie Wineland type of guy. Like, a guy that's, you know, almost 40 that he can beat. And I don't know.
Remember when they slapped the number 7 ranking on Dennis Seaver to fight Conor McGregor in his, like, what was supposed to be a breakout fight? And it was a breakout fight.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, but they went the opposite route here. Marlon Vera is pretty young, pretty goddamn talented.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, he's an extremely well-rounded fighter. I didn't get that matchmaking. But that aside, O'Malley... obviously has a lot of work he needs to do. But again, to the fact that this was a co-main event, to me, it didn't really have any implications. I mean, like, Vera won the fight, great. Marlon Vera's not going to get a title fight, though. And again, he's, in my opinion, really no closer with this win to a title fight than he was before.
I agree.
And I don't know why, because again, it's not that O'Malley's not a quality win, but if you really want to get technical, he's really, if you look at who he's beat, he's not beat anybody.
Right.
You know, Vera just beat a guy with a lot of hype behind him. And that's kind of to your point of why this was the co-main event. You know, I would have been happier with Rozenstruik and Dos Santos.
I agree, that should have been the co-main event. I guess you can't put two back-to-back heavyweight fights. My last question about this fight. What's your favorite cheddar cheese flavored snack?
I like...
Cheeto! Cheeto! Stop.
What?
Stop it. Move on. It was a setup.
Oh, but the answer's not Cheetos.
Don't fuck yourself.
That's not the answer.
We're moving on.
Anyway, I struggled to talk about this fight last night with Sean too. Covington, not O'Malley. I don't know. It was weird matchmaking. The outcome was weird. The way that everybody's processing the fight's weird. Like, so many people are just totally writing off the win. And other people are, like, saying that O'Malley's...
O'Malley.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a weird...
That bipolar. It's two very good prospects that were in a huge stage that they probably shouldn't have been in.
Yeah.
You know, if this was the first or second fight on this card, cool. But there's way too much hype behind this because Sugar does a great job of self-promotion.
Yeah, I mean, that's what
it comes down
to.
What's bad about that is when you lose your fourth or fifth fight in the promotion after beating... below average fighters for UFC standards, then you're going to be criticized heavily because you've drawn all this attention to you.
Yeah, I mean, he beat Eddie Wineland, who, again, no disrespect to Eddie Wineland, former world champion, but he won that world championship in 2006.
I will not sit here and let you talk shit about Eddie Wineland.
Sean O'Malley was, I don't know, at 14?
He's like 23 now?
Yeah.
So, shit, he would have been, like, 9.
I can't do math, but yeah, you're right. All right. I don't know what else to say about O'Malley. Main event. Stipe Miocic beat Daniel Cormier. Trilogy's over with. First of all, what did you think about the decision?
They got it right. 4-1. We were watching that fight, and after the second round, our friend Andrew said, this could be 2-0 DC, and then I looked and I said, well, this very well could be 2-0 Stipe. The first two rounds were very close. We had an exchange of eye pokes, always great to see. That's kind of staples of Daniel Cormier and John Jones fights these days. Then you start separating rounds. There's no doubt in my mind, Stipe clearly won the third round. Fourth round was very competitive again. And then the fifth round, Stipe clearly won. So it became a fight where you had a fighter who clearly won two rounds, and then three rounds were up in the air. Normally, the fighter that clearly wins two rounds is going to win the decision.
Was the eye poke a big deal?
According to Daniel Cormier. See, I'm not going to sit here and disrespect Daniel Cormier, but according to Daniel Cormier.
To me, I'm not... I mean, obviously getting poked in the eye sucks, and it didn't help anything. But to me, Cormier's eye looked pretty damaged after he got caught against the fence at the end of either the second or third round.
Yes.
It looked pretty puffed up, and it just looked messed up. And then, again, you know, to get poked in that same eye, it just makes matters worse. But I don't know how much of an impact it really had. And again, you know, Cormier said all of that right after the fight. To me, you know, the way that he acted after he got caught, it reminded me of the Machida-Yoel Romero fight, the way that Machida was just obviously concussed. I feel like Cormier had a similar situation going on, but I don't know.
What do you think about the decision?
I thought they got it right. I mean...
3-2 or 4-1? We had two judges go 4-1.
I thought 3... Okay, yeah. 3-2. Okay. I mean, to me, the fifth round was the fight that... the round that sealed it for Stipe.
Okay. I can see that. I mean, look, the first, second, and fourth round were extraordinarily close.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess I should be clear. I mean...
I think position won Stipe one of those rounds for sure. I mean, he had DC up against the cage. Wasn't doing too much with that position. But in a round where you kind of have a down round, which in a heavyweight title fight that goes five rounds at the pace these guys did, you can expect that. I think position's going to win points.
Was it the first round that Cormier took him down?
Yes.
So I would say Cormier probably won that round.
I agree.
And then it was either the third or the fourth. I feel like he won a second one, but I can't remember.
The fourth was extremely close.
Okay, and then I guess it's probably the fourth that I'm thinking of.
The third and fifth, Stipe won, clearly. I tweeted the next morning, said, we witnessed the greatest heavyweight fight of all time. Some cock munch on Twitter. That's my new thing. I'm going to start saying cock munch a whole bunch. I quoted the tweet and said, this is why I hate MMA Twitter. Whoever you are, you're probably not listening to this. You're a butt plug.
Did he say what he thinks the best heavyweight fight is?
No. I will stand on this point. That is the greatest heavyweight title fight in MMA history. Not UFC history. MMA history. If you can name a better heavyweight fight, not a round, not a knockout, not a badass submission, an overall fight that was better than that, I'll Venmo you $5.
I can mostly think of moments or like single rounds.
Like Mark Hunt had a great fight. I forget his opponents lost on me. They had a great fight.
It is tough. It's tough to even think of a heavyweight fight that was that competitive four or five rounds.
The pace that they showed is almost unmatched in three round fights.
And that's really what makes it stand out.
And it went five rounds.
Real quick, before we talk about what's next for Stipe, I just real quick got to go over his resume since signing with the UFC. He had his early fights where he beat Joey Beltran, Philip DeFries, and Shane Del Rosario. And then he lost to Stefan Struve, which was 8 years ago, which that should make you feel old. From that point on, though, he beat Roy Nelson, Gabe Gonzaga, and Fabio Maldonado before losing to Junior Dos Santos in that second loss that he had. From that point on, though, he beat Mark Hunt, Andre Arlovski, Fabricio Werdum, Alistair Overeem, Junior Dos Santos, and then Francis Ngannou before he lost to Cormier. And since that loss to Cormier, he's beat Cormier twice. That resume is ridiculous.
It's absolutely
insane. And I was thinking about this the other day. If Jones moves up to heavyweight and Stipe beats Jones and then retires, I think he has an argument for the GOAT.
which is kind of wild because nobody saw that coming for Stipe. But the dude's beat, I mean, he's beat almost every heavyweight possible. He avenged all of his losses except for Stefan Struve, but it just never really made any sense. He's beat Cormier, who a lot of people say is one of the second, or two, you know, two or three best of all time. If he beats Jones, I mean, he's got to be in the conversation.
Absolutely.
Which is just wild because nobody would have ever thought that about Stipe.
One cockmunch argument people would make is Jones is naturally light heavyweight. The dude is 6'4".
Yeah. And
he's an athletic freak. If he would have fought at heavyweight his entire career and then announced he's dropping down to light heavyweight, people would have said the same.
It's too big.
Naturally heavyweight.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean...
And there is that argument.
But if he were able to beat Jon Jones in what would be the fight of the year... if it's going to happen in 2021, that would be, I'd put him in my top three of all time, no doubt.
Let's say hypothetically, you know, Dana White said he's going to fight Francis next. Let's say he fights him and wins. Then his last, you know, he's beat Francis twice and Cormier twice going into the Jones fight.
Yes.
I mean, that's just...
it's absurd.
Yeah, it really is pretty crazy.
So, if Jones... could wait. I mean, let's be serious. Jones could gladly wait for a title shot. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You'd have an argument that Curtis Blaydes coming off a win against Derrick Lewis. And I love Derrick. I'm just never going to pick him in that fight.
Awful matchup for him.
So, yeah. There's no doubt in my mind. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that if he beat Jones, can you say Jones is a better fighter than Stipe? I mean, real shit. Like, Jones' resume might be better, but in a fight against each other, if Stipe were to win, I'd take that over a resume.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me because Jon Jones is my greatest of all time.
Mine too. And that's the thing. You know, people say, what would it take to make Khabib? You know, I saw this question on Twitter the other day. And it said, what would Khabib have to do to be considered the GOAT?
Fight more than once a year.
Yeah, I mean, he is, without question, the lightweight GOAT.
Yes.
And he's definitely, like, top four or five greatest fighters ever.
Yes.
But to me, to say he's better than Jon Jones, I mean, Jones has never lost, and he's far more prolific.
Yes.
And that, I mean, that has to count for something. Yes. I mean, I understand a Khabib fan arguing, but I'm not particularly a huge fan of either dude. I mean... my honest
Khabib
opinion.
Would have to get to 10 title defenses.
Yeah. I mean, he has to do something miraculous, which I know he's undefeated, but Jones is undefeated too, yes, for all intents and purposes. So,
Khabib defended that title maybe, I'll give him 7 times, and then were to move up and beat a guy like Kamaru Usman.
Then there's no question. There's no question. Or even if he defends it, you know, a time or two more, then moves up and beats Usman.
Right.
The conversation changes.
Yes.
But, anyway, real quick before we get out of here, Jones and Blaydes is a fight I would love to see for some reason. I don't know why, but it's a tough fight for Jones.
It would absolutely test Jon Jones' mettle at heavyweight. There's no doubt about it.
Which is what I want to see.
I can't name a guy at light heavyweight Jones has fought since DC that is a better fighter than Curtis Blaydes. Light heavyweight, we'll get to that next time.
Well, actually, that's the last thing I have written down here. You did see that they announced that Reyes and Blachowicz is for the light heavyweight title.
To me, if Izzy goes on to beat Paula, they're inviting him pretty much. Like, move up to light heavyweight and come take this belt and claim that you're the greatest. Like, you know, let him claim that. And he could probably easily move up and down and defend both belts. They love some Israel Adesanya. Even after his last performance, he's an extremely charismatic guy. Blachowicz versus Reyes is a legitimate matchup, but will I ever recognize either one of those guys as the light heavyweight champion when the real light heavyweight GOAT is still in the promotion? No.
The one thing that at least Blachowicz has going for him is that he doesn't have a loss to Jones. Yeah, so it's like if he wins the belt, at least he can say, you know, come back and fight me.
Yeah.
Whereas with Reyes, it was a close fight, but Jones still has the win.
Are we going to see a championship carousel like GSP left after he left the company at welterweight?
It's possible.
I think the winner of this fight could easily go on and fight hammer on his chest.
Thiago Santos.
Thiago Santos and lose that fight.
I mean, Glover Teixeira is right there, too, after the you know, he's won three or four
there
straight.
There you go.
So it really is, because I don't, I mean, I'm not, I know Reyes did good against Jones,
well,
but it's not
serious.
Like
it's
he.
Johnny Walker. I'm done.
Well,
I don't reflect on that.
It's open. The division's wide open. He's fighting Ryan Spann. We'll see. He's on the new video game.
John?
Yeah.
About to go play us.
He's not as good as you think.
He's not five stars everywhere?
No.
Oh.
Shockingly. Anything you want to say before we get out of here?
I am the GOAT. There's no question about it. I met Tiger Woods. And he said, wow, it's an honor to meet you. That's all I got to say, baby.
As always, I want to give a shout out to the Fighting With Myself podcast. And to all of the podcasts on Twitter that people listen to. They're all great. And also, MMA Torch is back up and running again. So definitely check that out. And that's pretty much that.